Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. And we've got a lot to get into on the show today. Double Bruno talks, Bruno G and Bruno F. We'll talk about those latest updates. Also, Nagelsmann, a big update around him. Diamande, a couple of other bits. A player from Como we've been linked to as well. And injury updates. And also a little bit, if we have time, I mean, because I don't think it should be anywhere near the start of the show, a little bit, if we've got time, about what Scholes said, and also Gary Lineker has said about Rashford, because I think he's talking nonsense, but we might not get time for that. Hopefully we will. And look, yesterday I didn't do the evening show because I was down in London doing Baller League stuff, spoke to a lot of people, some people well tapped in, quite concerning around the manager updates of Manchester United. But we'll talk about that in a moment, because there was a lot of stuff yesterday I saw when I was driving back, looking on my phone, looking at Terry's show, looking at what was going on, and a lot of talk around Bruno Guimarães. Man United want Bruno Guimarães. Man United want to bring Bruno Guimarães to the club. Also Fabrizio Romano's update on Bruno Fernandes as well. So look, a bit of a double snub, if we're being completely honest, on Bruno, from Bruno Fernandes. Not as concerning as he's leaving, but United aren't going to get him to sign a contract anytime soon. We'll delve into what Romano said there in a moment. But let's start off with Bruno Guimarães. So again, as I said, a lot of reports yesterday that Man United have put Bruno Guimarães at the top of their list to replace Casemiro, and Bruno Guimarães would like a move, and all these things. But the big issue is Man United are snubbing this deal. Man United, like, you can speak to whoever you want to speak to, and they can put a story out because they want a bit of interaction. But the reality is, Mark doesn't text while he's driving, because Mark gets a driver. I don't know whether that makes me look any better, actually. But the thing is, it's concerning, because all these people writing about Bruno Guimarães, like, this is a news show. And you have your opinion, I have mine. I mean, I've got to backtrack on Scholes a little bit if we get time. Hopefully we won't. But we have an open and honest conversation. I can't sit here and say that Man United are advancing a deal for Bruno Guimarães when I know what I know. And you know, you lot know as well. Like, this is just spin. And the purpose of the spin, you always have to figure it out. Because United are not going for Bruno Guimarães. Casemiro may have recommended him. His agent may be doing good work. I would say the five strands of transfers have to come out today on this show. Because with any transfer story, it's true, it's not true. It's from the agent trying to, you know, generate interest. It's from the club trying to generate interest, the selling club. Or it's from the player trying to get a new contract where they are. And I think with Bruno Guimarães, it's one of the last three. It will be his agent trying to generate interest for a move because he's had enough at Newcastle. It'll be Newcastle trying to stir up from interest because that's the player they'd like to sell. And I'll tell you why in a minute. Or it's the agent and the player trying to stir up interest so that Newcastle put a new offer on the table because he's quite happy to stay. But it won't be Man United. It's not Man United. Do you want to know why it's not Manchester United? I like Bruno Guimarães. I said to you the other day, for me, he would be on the list to go and get as a midfielder for Manchester United, because I think he's Premier League proven. He's had hardly any injuries. He gets goals. He's got passion. He's a technically good player, and he would massively improve our midfield. We'd go from probably a 6 out of 10 midfield to a 7 or 8 out of 10 midfield straight away, just putting him in it. And you could argue that we're not actually a 6 out of 10 midfield. We might even be a 5. But the reason we're not in for him, And Man United will tell you this. Man United will tell you this if they're honest. And Fabrizio will tell you this. And everybody will tell. Ben Jacobs is on the show tomorrow. We can ask Ben Jacobs. In fact, we will do that. Man United are not buying players over 26 years of age. They're not doing it. It was in an interview with Sir Jim Ratcliffe. Like, they're not doing those sorts of signings anymore. They're not signing people over 26. And Bruno Guimarães is 29 in November. So basically, he'll be 29 the season we sign him. He'll want decent money, and Newcastle will want decent money. And United just don't do those deals anymore. And some of you might go, I agree with that. I agree with that. I disagree with it. But we don't do those sort of deals anymore. And until we break that boundary, and who knows, maybe this summer we will. But at the moment, it's a strong no on anybody over 26. I mean, yeah, I think you can be 26, but 27 and over, you're not coming to Manchester United. They're not going to do it. And the reason Newcastle might want to sell Bruno Guimarães this summer over Anthony Gordon and Tonali is because he is 29. Newcastle might be pushing this themselves. He's 29 this summer, this year. So for Newcastle, it's the last chance to cash in on a player that's going to depreciate in value year on year on year. So Newcastle might be pushing this out there themselves. And I don't know whether Newcastle are pushing it out there, but if I'm Eddie Howe or the CEO or the director of football of Newcastle, and I know I've got to sell somebody because we're not going to be in Europe and FFP's knocking on the door, I don't want to sell Tonali. I don't want to sell Lewis Hall. I don't want to sell Anthony Gordon because they're all good players for the future. If I've got to sell somebody and I need to bring in £60 million, I will sell Bruno Guimarães because he's 29 next year and it's the last chance. And he's not going to be here as long as Anthony Gordon and Lewis Hall and Tonali. So it could be that as well. But I think there's a lot of people, and you do need to, well, I think you need to remember who we're dealing with. I mean, when I talk about the manager thing in a few minutes' time, you're going to have a wake-up call about who we're dealing with. We're Manchester United, and that's not the Man United we want to be. But we have set parameters in place, whether we agree with them or not. We are trying to follow the Chelsea model, which is probably why we'll give Carrick the job when you look at Rosinha and an inexperienced young coach. I think there's a big hint there. We're trying to buy lots of players under the age of 25. And we're not buying players over 26, 27, which is pretty much what Chelsea won't do. Chelsea don't buy players over 25. They don't. And Man United seem to think this is a good idea as well. So everybody getting excited about Bruno Guimarães, I would really just ignore it and say that ain't happening until it happens. And what that means is if it happens, we have massively changed course. And I would cheer about that. But it's not like Diamande or Elliot Anderson where it actually falls into the parameters of what Man United are doing. It doesn't mean we'll get them, but you know, we could probably get a bit excited about them because United will try and get them. Bruno Guimarães, I think, is a dead story because it's outside of what we're trying to do. We don't do those sort of deals anymore. We don't go over that age group anymore. So people trying to push that, I get it, you know. Man United, Bruno Guimarães, decent midfielder. But, you know, I think there has to be, not honesty, because we don't know everything, but there has to be a realistic conversation about it. And yes, I would sign Bruno Guimarães, but no, United aren't going to sign Bruno Guimarães as we stand here today. It will not be a deal that United are looking at. Somebody said, is it an app? Do you think there's any way it could happen? Zoe says Bruno Guimarães is good. Man United will sign it. It's a him. It's not an it. But I think that for Man United to sign Bruno Guimarães, I would imagine something like this would need to happen. Tonali goes somewhere else. Anderson goes somewhere else. Wharton goes somewhere else. They pull out a Baleba because Baleba will come. He's begging it. Stiller goes somewhere else. And you end up with a situation like last summer where you miss out on your five top targets and you sign Sesko. But even Sesko fits the parameters. Watkins didn't. So I don't know. I think Bruno Guimarães we would go for if we were down the list. But also, who else is going to go for him? I don't know. Laura says the club's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. Okay, so that's the latest on Bruno G. The latest on Bruno F. is this, and Emily Derry's made a great point just before we move on, actually. She says, I make it make sense. We will give a 32-year-old Harry Maguire a new contract, but will not sign Bruno Guimarães at 28, 29 in the name of developing young players or investing in young players. Emily, give yourself a gold star. Tell you what, we were easily led at school. When I was at school, we used to work really hard to get a gold star on your home, on your work. Idiots. Kids today wouldn't fall for it. And people say that things were better in the past. I mean, it was more innocent, but like, I remember being at school and the teacher would like shout over, Goldbridge, if you don't stop talking about football, it wasn't Goldbridge then, obviously. If you don't stop talking about football, you won't get a gold star. And sometimes I go, I'm relegated already. I'm never coming back from this. I've not done any work for an hour. I'm never coming back anyway. Have you got a bronze star? But yeah, we did. And I'll tell you what, one of my teachers, I can't remember, I'd shout them out. I mean, they're probably dead. But the point, they probably are. I'm 46. So we're talking about when I was seven. So we're talking 40 years ago. And the average age of a teacher is probably somewhere between 25. Oh, no, still no, probably still with us. Anyway, I don't know the name, so I can't shout them out anyway. But they had football stickers. They weren't a nonce. They were a teacher, right? And they had football stickers, and it was amazing. So basically, if you did good work, you could have a football sticker on your work. They were like these little tiny ones, like, you know, like the stars. They weren't massive. They weren't like Panini. They were little. And she had a whole big book of these stickers, and they were like tiny ones. And she had about 20 of each badge. I don't even know where you got them from. The problem was, after about a couple of months, all the good ones had gone. So Man United, I mean, I think Liverpool was there, but I'd rather wipe my arse. I do like wipe, and wipe, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. But you'd end up going really like QPR or Preston to avoid having Arsenal or Liverpool or someone like that. It was good times. Anyway, I've completely diverted there. Sorry. I'm going to blame Emily for that. But no, Emily is absolutely spot on. Give yourself a gold star, because there is a hypocrisy to what Man United are doing. And I'm glad that Emily has exposed it, because this is how shallow Manchester United's ownership is. And this is how intelligent people like Emily expose it. Because on the one hand, they have parameters about not signing players over 26, because it's about a young, vibrant development squad. It's about money. It's about money, because Harry Maguire is going to... I think Harry Maguire is 33, not 32. And we're going to give him a contract for potentially 2 years. So we're giving a 33-year-old injury-prone centre-back, and he is injury-prone now, he gets a lot more injuries, an injury-prone 33-year-old centre-back who can't actually play in a back four, we're giving him a 2-year contract rather than buying a younger one. And that's what Emily's saying. We won't buy Bruno Guimarães, who's one of the best midfielders in Europe. In Europe, certainly in the Premier League, who's 28/29 for £60 million, who can play in our midfield for the next 3 years and be our best midfielder. We won't do that because he's over 26. But we will give Harry a 2-year contract at 33, because it's cheaper than buying a younger one who's under 26. And that's the hypocrisy of United. It works when it works. It doesn't work. It basically is, we don't want to spend £60 million on a 28-year-old because we can't resell him. But if we spend £60 million on a 22-year-old, we can resell him and there's more value in him on the Excel spreadsheet. Because if you've got a £60 million player at 23 and he stays at the club for 3 years and you sell him, you make profit. If he stays at the club for 10 years, it's still profit. It's still an asset on the books. But with Harry Maguire, we can keep somebody who's already here, costs us very little money. Whereas if we bring a 22-year-old in, it probably costs us £50 million. So it's always about money. It's not about developing players or anything like that. The parameters are about sell-on value and replacement value, etc. Like Luke Shaw. Luke Shaw's actually 30. He's 31. People forget. I think people think Luke Shaw, because he looks a bit like Peter Pan, is like 27. He's 30, Luke Shaw. He's been 30 all season. He's 31 in the summer. This is our left back next year. I mean, in 13 years at the club, he's played about half of them. And he's our left back next year. Because it's cheap to keep him. It's not because he's a good lad or, you know, popular. It's because it's cheap to keep them. That's what Man United do.
What is the profile the club is looking for? An 8, a 6. I thought we need a physical 6 to complement Mainu, an 8, and Bruno a 10 to fix midfield, as United 7-7-7-7. You're asking the wrong person, really. And I don't know whether the right person's in the chat to answer what midfield we're looking for. I know what I'd be looking for. In fact, I'm going to do a video on it. But I don't know what they're looking for. Because Coolio says Luke Shaw's only 30. I actually thought he was about 28, to be honest. But I don't know what the profile of... I mean, Tonali fits the profile perfectly because he can sit and run the midfield. Baleba, Anderson, Wharton, they're not really sitters. They're more pivot two, you know? My dream signing would be Valverde for about 80 million. Passionate, covers every inch on the grass and would massively improve that squad to learn and drive, says Lucho. Well, look, when I was speaking to our source on Saturday, and obviously we gave you most of the information on Sunday morning, I didn't say this, but you've just prompted something in my head. United probably could face a difficult summer transfer in this window, because there is an acknowledgement that last year you had Cunha and Mbeumo, who were desperate to come to Manchester United. I mean, Cunha himself has said that, you know, Amrin played a big part in it, and also he loves Man United. Mbeumo, Man United, loves Man United. So, and they're not on massive wages. So Cunha and Mbeumo, brilliant signings, but were really, you know, wanted to come to the club. Obviously, Le Mans is a young goalkeeper that no one else was looking at, really. It was a big step up, so he wanted to come. And by the time for Sesko, it was Newcastle or Man United, and he wanted to leave. So the deals we did last summer sort of... And also, Sesko wasn't first choice, was he? So, you know, by that time, he was really happy to come to United. So the person I was speaking to on Saturday said, United need to find those opportunities again, because the summer transfer window was good, but when you analyse it, all those players were desperate to come to Manchester United. Now, who's desperate to come to Manchester United this summer? When you look at it, there will be people. Baleba, 100%, is desperate to come to Man United, probably for the wrong reasons, but he is desperate. But beyond that, who's desperate to come to Manchester United in that market? Because United aren't very good at getting players that aren't desperate to come here. The only one that they've really done was probably Lenny Yoro, who had Real Madrid, but Real Madrid wouldn't sign him. So was he desperate, or was it the only option on the table? So United have got to find those options, because if it's a straight fight between, you know, Liverpool, Chelsea, Man City, Arsenal, they will probably win it because they're better at transfer negotiations than us, because they don't have Jason Wilcox involved. It's concerning how United is Leonardo DiCaprio FC, says AMG. And Patrick Lynch says, the issue with the age limit policy is that it rules out so many quality players. Modern footballers now are still elite until 35, and that means you could get 9 good years from a good player, says Patrick. Look, how many players can you name over 26 that you would take at Man United? Probably 100. And you're right, like, there's so many good players out there. But it's a financial decision, Patrick. It's because they financially don't like the idea of signing a player who's 28 on a decent wage for 4 years, knowing that there's nothing at the end other than walking away. There's no resale value, etc. Jed says, we've seen Don Carlo fail at Everton. What makes us confident someone like Enrique will succeed with this terrible ownership? I think you need to appreciate the super chat, mate, but I think before you write stuff, you should actually go and research what Everton fans think of Ancelotti, because he certainly didn't fail. With the parameters that he had and the team that he had, they loved Ancelotti there, and everybody felt he did a good job. So I wouldn't describe Ancelotti's time at Everton as a failure. But I don't think Ancelotti's going to come anyway. We'll talk about the manager in a moment, because I just want to talk about this Bruno Fernandes update. Sorry, I'll come back to that in a minute. This Paul Scholes stuff is really overblown, which is why I don't really want to talk about it till later on in the show. I mean, fucking Rio Fairyland, that is saying now. What a surprise. if Manchester United qualify for the Champions League football and present Bruno with a very interesting and ambitious project, there are good chances for him to continue and stay at the club. This is from Fabrizio Romano. Now, look, some people will say it's stating the obvious, but it is from one of the two traditionally best transfer experts in football.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
So Bruno Fernandes is effectively saying that Manchester United not only need to qualify for the Champions League, they also have to present a very interesting and ambitious project for him to stay at the club. And I think this second part is why I wanted to bring this in, because technically it's a snub if United don't do that. Champions League qualification, I know how some of you work. You're quite nervy and you don't like these sort of comments. I said we'd get Champions League football on New Year's Eve. Amrin was still here then. I didn't know who was going to be the interim. So I think we'll get Champions League football. I think it's by no means guaranteed, but when you look at the fixtures, you look at who we're competing with, you look at they've all got to play in Europe. And also, you look at Aston Villa. I just can't see Aston Villa. I think Aston Villa could go as low as eighth. And they were third a couple of weeks ago. I think Villa are just going to drop like a stone. And obviously, I'm very confident we'll beat them on Sunday because they're playing on Thursday. So I think that it's Villa who are going to drop out. So we will get Champions League football, in my opinion. The next bit, and I actually appreciate this, the next bit is, for Bruno to stay, we need Champions League football and we need an interesting and ambitious project. I would say to Bruno Fernandes that, and I'm happy to say this, leave Manchester United, even if they've got Champions League football, if they give the job to someone like Carrick or De Zerbi or Glasner and they only buy them 4 players, I'd leave. That's not ambitious. And that's nothing against De Zerbi, Carrick or Glasner. That's just not ambitious and it's not interesting. If they give that job to Carrick, Glasner or De Zerbi and they only give them 4 or 5 players, Bruno's wasted his career because in 18 months we'll be back where we are now. If they give the job to an exciting manager and they buy 7 or 8 players, that becomes an interesting and ambitious project. And I think it's the definition of what's interesting and ambitious to you. Remember, this is Bruno Fernandes' last contract. And for him, he can't have another year like the last 5. He can't have a year like Newcastle. He can't be in the Champions League. It's great to be here, but I'm only here for 1 year because next summer he's gone anyway. There is a very big chance that this time next year, we will be outside of the top 5 doing a Newcastle. Maybe in a knockout game in the Champions League, knowing we're not going to win it, miles off the top 5. So for Bruno, he's got to think ambitious and interesting has to be Champions League for the next 3 years. He needs to play in the Champions League for the final 3 years of his career. And United need to put that on a plate. And if Bruno Fernandes is intelligent, which I think he is, I would be saying, look at Newcastle, qualified for the Champions League comfortably, done well in the Champions League, but not been able to get into the top 5 by... comfortably not in the top 5. Look at their squad, look at our squad. Theirs is actually better, and they've got a better manager, and they've got more stability. Sell me your project this summer that defeats Newcastle with a good manager and a better squad so that we can be in the Champions League for the next 3 years, and I'll sign that paper. So I think this is a good thing for us. I think it's a very good thing. And I think Bruno shouldn't sign a contract until after the World Cup. As much as I'd be there, there is a flip side to the coin. But if I was Bruno Fernandes, I'd be like, I love it here. It's great that we're in the Champions League and I want to stay. But I can't afford with my last contract to waste another 3 years on another fuck up from you at the top. So you better give me the best manager and you better bring in the right volume of players for me to think that this is going somewhere. Because if you take another punt on a manager and you buy a load of players that need to nurture and develop. Look, and I can tell you that project that I'm not signing. If I'm Bruno Fernandes and they give the job to Carrick or De Zerbi or Glasner, and then they buy Baleba, João Gomes, Diamande, and a centre back, I'm gone. See you later. I'm out. I'm finished. The manager's a punt. Baleba and João Gomes aren't good enough. Diamande is a young player, and you haven't even bought a left back. So I'm gone. And I would be gone. On the flip side, if you give me Nagelsmann or Enrique or Ancelotti, and you sign Anderson and Stiller, and you buy Lewis Hall and Diamande, and you buy a couple of other players, I'm signing the contract. And that's the difference between exciting, ambitious, and a punt. It's really easy, isn't it? And you will have your own, what you think it, but hopefully Bruno's is going to be like mine, because United then need to deliver that to keep Bruno, which is essential. So I'm quite comfortable with this. Obviously, if I was the owner of Man United, I'd be like, Bruno, there's 400 grand a week. Will you sign the contract now? You try and get him on the money angle. You don't want to wait till July to do it. But I think from a fan perspective, if Bruno's on the wavelength he should be on, and he should be saying, look, you can do what you want as a club. Player power shouldn't exist, but I can do what I want as a player. If you want me to stay, I need top-class manager, top-class signings, because I'm running out of time on my career and I'm not taking another punt or a project. So it could be quite good for us. Amit says, Bruno Fernandes sets the benchmark for United to act and deliver. I think Bruno Fernandes could be pivotal. His decision could be pivotal in the future of this football club. And he could drive that. I mean, he could literally say, I'm only staying if you get a top-class manager and five top-class players. And if you don't, I want to leave. And I think I'd respect him for that. I don't want him to go. I think we'll be in a right shithole if we go. But Bruno's got to set that parameter, really, hasn't he? What is the profile the club is looking for? I've done that from United 77. And so basically it's goodbye, Bruno, because this ownership is never doing that. Let's be real, says Not Prepared. Well, look, yesterday I was down in London at the Baller League draft day. There was a lot of people there and there's a lot of conversations, and a lot of those conversations were about Manchester United. And I was literally reading this when I was talking to some people. So it was from the Manchester Evening News, actually. And it was basically saying that Nagelsmann would be more difficult to get this summer because he's contracted to the national team until 2028 and will manage at the World Cup in the United States this summer. United need clarity on their managerial situation before the World Cup, but they cannot wait. A potential appointment of Nagelsmann would have to be announced before the World Cup, but there would be a managerial void at Carrington while he coached Germany at the tournament. That point alone makes Nagelsmann highly unlikely, although he does have strong links with United Director of Recruitment, Christopher Vidal. This is bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Like, this is the parameters changing around the manager again. When they sacked Amorim, everybody was on the table. Pochettino, Tuchel, Ancelotti, Nagelsmann, Roberto Martinez, all managing in the World Cup, all on the table. Enrique was on the table. Simeone was on the table. Emery was on the table. Have you noticed, just like Elliot Anderson, that's put out there to make you sort of feel good about sacking your manager halfway through the season? It's a classic United tactic. We didn't buy a midfielder in January, in the summer, September the 1st, Elliot Anderson's our priority. We didn't buy a midfielder in January, Elliot Anderson's our priority. Both windows closed, get closer to a real window in the summer. Elliot Anderson's difficult. You know, he's probably going to Man City, he's probably too expensive. Classic United tactic, spin you when you're angry and then tell the truth when there's nothing you can do about it. Manager's the same. Sack Amorim, everybody's on the table. It's like you know, we've got so much choice we don't want to do. There's about 16 top-class managers we could go for. Where are we today? Basically closing the door on World Cup managers and closing the door on managers that we'd have to pay for. We're probably down to, and this was being discussed yesterday with a few people who are in the know, Man United are probably down to already Carrick, De Zerbi, Glasner, Iriola, Marco Silva, basically people who are free. Now, that's not best in class. That's like a line of shops for dinner. Harrods, Waitrose, Sainsbury's, Iceland, Greggs. We're only going to Iceland or Greggs or the £1 baguette shop. Well, they might do good food. I'm not having a go at them. But that's not best in class because we're ignoring the expensive options. That's basically what United are doing with the manager situation. We're closing doors all the time. And going back to what we were talking about with Bruno there, Bruno should leave. Because if I was Bruno Fernandes, I'd look at it and go, they're literally shutting doors on all these good managers. Bullshit. And look, we can't... I don't agree that because a manager is managing in the World Cup, we can't wait till after the World Cup. I don't agree. It's bullshit. It's bullshit for idiots. Because what they're trying to say is, if a manager's managing in the World Cup, they won't be able to train the players in June. Oh, what, in June, when they're on holiday anyway? Well, if the manager's at the World Cup and they do well, he won't be able to train the players in early July. What, when most of the players in the World Cup are on holiday as well? So what you're basically saying is, we're not going for a manager in the World Cup for no reason. Because if you had gone for Tuchel, and even if England win the World Cup, which is the middle of July, Tuchel doesn't have to have a holiday straight away. He can come straight in. And that would be the back end of July. The Premier League season starts on August the 20th. You'd have a whole month of pre-season. And also, Bruno Fernandes, I'm trying to think of a Man United England player. I don't know. Well, let's say Harry Maguire goes to the World Cup. Harry Maguire, Bruno Fernandes, Cunha, all these players, they won't actually start training until August. Most players will not start their pre-season till August. Because if you go to the World Cup, you have to then have 2 or 3 weeks off. Because if you look at Bruno Fernandes, he's been playing football non-stop since August. Well, not at Man United. You do get holidays now. So these players need to have a break. So this nonsense that United are trying to leak out there to journalists, well, we can't go for a manager from the World Cup. I've seen some of our fans online going, yeah, I agree. We shouldn't go for a manager that's in the World Cup because we won't get a pre-season. And you sort of like go, oh my God, these people are so thick. There is no pre-season while the World Cup's going on. All your good players are at the World Cup. And if you've got 70% of your players at the World Cup and 30% back for pre-season, it doesn't matter. Because you can't work on anything anyway without your proper team. So going for a World Cup manager doesn't actually matter. It doesn't matter at all. And actually, the way football works, when Louis van Gaal was taking the Man United job after the World Cup, was it? We were talking to him about transfers and stuff way before he came in. So it doesn't make any difference. Sully says, don't forget Southgate. Well, if we give Southgate the job, it's over. Has other Big Six clubs bought over 26 recently, says Aaron. Arsenal definitely have. I don't know that Man City have. But you know what, mate? I think even if they hadn't, why wouldn't we, Aaron? Why wouldn't we? Why would you close the door on that? It's like people don't stop being good players at 27. Mr. Frames, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you so much for getting your badge in. Appreciate you. Do you think the club even want Bruno to stay, says Dawid? Well, I mean, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I mean, I would hope that they do. Of course, if they've got no ambition and no exciting projects, they might want to cash in on him, I suppose. Do you think the club... you've done that one. And not prepared... So basically, it's goodbye, Bruno, because the ownership is never going to do that. Let's get real. And also, Goldfridge with a super chat says, not getting a World Cup manager because they won't be in for training is silly as not buying players early because they won't have a pre-season, which we've done for the last 13 years. Exactly. Emily Derry says, there is no pre-season and supposedly our transfer policy is board level, so it doesn't matter that a manager target is at the World Cup. Club just trying to justify going for the cheap or easy option. Love. Emily's spot on. Goldfridge is spot on. Everything Man United do is spin. We can't buy players over 26 because, you know, they're old. No, you're just about to give Harry Maguire a contract at 33 and Luke Shaw is going to be your left back at 31. It's because of money. We can't go for a manager from the World Cup because we won't get a pre-season. No, that's not true, because why don't you go and get Enrique or Emery at Villa or PSG? Because it's money. You basically want the fans to think Carrick or De Zerbi or Glasner are a good choice because they're free. Everything we do is going to be driven by money, as always. And you won't get best in class. They can do what they want. We can't stop them from doing it. But don't try and justify it as excellence or best in class, because it's not. It's not best in class when you are trying to buy a fish and instead of going in the ocean, you go in your neighbour's pond. You'll get what's in that pond. Whereas if you go in the ocean, you'll get what you want. And United, again, are just looking to be cheap. But look, the general consensus in the industry is that United probably will give it Carrick and that they want to do that because it's cheap. You know, I said that in January. Right, let's move on. I will move on. You might want to come back. Breaking news that Jadon Sancho is poised to leave Man United on a free transfer this June, with Borussia Dortmund and Villa keen on a move. I don't, that was on Stretford End X. Okay, I've literally just on my timeline there. Sorry for that. We'll edit that out. Breaking news, Jadon Sancho is going to leave on a free transfer this summer. No shit, Sherlock. No, this is the one I was going to read. So Spanish reports are saying that Man United have shown an interest in Como winger Jesus Rodriguez as they prepare to replace Marcus Rashford this summer. There was some hope at the club that Barcelona may not have the funds to buy Rashford and he could be reintegrated into the squad. The 26 million fee for Rashford will be reinvested in a winger. That's a wild story. That's from Sport in Spain. I don't know. Look, Man United need to buy a winger, apparently, even though I think we need to buy a left back. But you can tell that's a Spanish story because it's almost like it's propaganda for Barcelona that United want Rashford back. So let's sign Rashford. I don't think United want Rashford back financially. I don't think it's even a football decision. I don't think Ineos want Rashford back because he's on huge wages. I wouldn't take Rashford back anyway. I think he's better off in Barcelona, but United are begging to have Rashford back. Although Carrick apparently wanted him back, didn't he? Although they said that wasn't true.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Talking of which, let's delve into some of this ex-player bollocks because a lot of people have been talking about it. So Gary Lineker has criticised Manchester United, suggesting a permanent move to Barcelona could be the best option for Rashford. I think that would be a great move for him, said Lineker. Don't you? It looks promising for him. I think it will come down to Marcus. If he goes back to Manchester United, he would face the old criticism again. Oh, he's focusing too much on helping kids had food on their table, like it's a bad thing. They did this bizarre thing about why he was wearing some kind of flashy necklace. They don't do that nonsense here in Spain. So he just gets on with his football. It was a fresh start, and I would imagine he's really loving it and not getting all the off-field nonsense he got in this country. They leave you to live your life. It doesn't compare to how our media is here. It's unlike Lineker to make it about politics and off-field stuff, isn't it? I mean, this is a guy that presented Match of the Day and that runs his own bloody podcast and talks about Man United a lot, but doesn't seem to know much about Manchester United. Having said that, I think he had an interview with Rashford. And one thing, as a fan of Rashford, I would always say this. One of the big things that turned me off Rashford and how I relate to people who don't like Rashford is the brand around him is just like PR City. You know, Lineker will probably be in with Rashford's brand saying what they want. You know, there's no balance with Rashford. You're either dead against him or up his arse. And that's just the way his brand, the people around him work. Lineker's obviously had the interview and is in with them. I've heard other people who are in with them and like that's not proper reporting. They're probably good people, but that's not proper reporting. So to say that Rashford was forced out of England because people were criticising him for feeding kids, I mean, that was years ago. And I don't think people criticised him for it. The reason Manchester United fans wanted Rashford to go was because he was walking around on the pitch and not performing, Gary. And you left that bit out. So Man United fans aren't get out of this country because you're feeding kids. Man United fans aren't get out of this country because of the way you're dressing. It was bad performances, Gary, that Man United fans were getting fed up with. So, you know, I feel like it's a bit of a dig against United fans, which is unfair. And also, there's a lot of United fans out there that really like Rashford. Personally, the first few years of Rashford, I really liked. He was one of my favourite players with Martial. What he became in the last few years. And Gary's also admitted the Belfast drinking incident, hasn't he, as well? I mean, that's, you know, he's happy to talk about feeding kids and jewellery, but he won't talk about going out on the piss in a different country the night before training. Interesting, that one from Gary, isn't it? But look, where I do agree with him is that there can't be a return to Manchester United because the criticism will come back. Because I don't think he actually, when you watch him at Barcelona, and I'm looking forward to watching Barcelona against Newcastle, I don't think that Rashford's much different from what he was in the Premier League. I think in the Premier League, some defenders had sort of figured him out a little bit and he needed a fresh challenge. And my personal take is that Rashford's doing well in Barcelona because it's a different country in a different culture for a fantastic team that beats teams most weeks because it's one of the best teams in the league. And as an attacker in that league, you're going to enjoy your football more. And it's a new environment and it's the fresh challenge that he wanted. And that's the truth. We don't need to say he shouldn't come back to Manchester United because people have a pop at him for feeding kids. He shouldn't come back to Manchester United because he shouldn't come back. Didn't really work for Ronaldo, did it? He shouldn't go back. You should look forwards. He's at a much better place at Barcelona playing in the Champions League, challenging for titles than he is at Man United. And he would get a lot of scrutiny if he came back to Manchester United because there are fans that sort of have had enough of him. So that's the truth, Gary. I don't know what you're talking about bloody jewellery and stuff for, because Rashford himself needed a new challenge, and it wasn't a very good last 18 months for Rashford, if we're being completely honest. So look, good luck to him, and hopefully he'll do well because Barcelona's the right place. Right. Right, look, I don't need to apologise on this next bit, right? So this whole Scholes thing again has started up. So Scholes deleted this thing about Carrick where he said, look, my interpretation of that was that he basically said, Carrick's a great coach. He must be to win four games when we've been shit. I think my interpretation of that was that he was saying, he's clearly not a great coach. United have been lucky the last four games and that's what they finally got what they deserved. Good night. That's the way I took it from Scholes. I thought he was having a dig and I thought he was right to have a dig and I thought we were shit for the last four games and all this glow up about Carrick, finally the reality happened that, you know, he's done well, but he ain't the saviour. That's what I thought Scholes was saying. Apparently, that's not what he meant because Scholes said, what I said, and I hadn't heard that before, but that I was saying he was just a lucky manager. I wasn't saying that. I was saying he's a very talented manager because he's getting results with a team that for the last four games since West Ham, I didn't think they were playing well. So what Scholes meant by his post is that he actually meant that he's a very talented manager when he can win games when United aren't playing well. I didn't take it as that. But to be honest, Wes Brown said, I can see both ways. When Scholes, he explained it to me, it completely makes sense. But how I read it is he's having a go at him. I read it that he's having a go at him. So look, I just think we need to move on from it. It's not really the news, is it? Oh, Rio Ferdinand also said something as well. He said, I think it was just interpreted differently to the way Paul Scholes meant it to come across. Okay. Well, look, a lot of people still talking about it. Look, my stance is, if you're an ex-player and you want to say United have been shit and you don't really want this manager, you can say it. You'll get a bit of criticism for it, but you can say it. I interpreted it that that's what he was saying. Apparently, he meant that Carrick's really good because we're playing shit and he's winning games. Look, you know, some people do say that. To win games when you're playing shit isn't bad, but we didn't beat Newcastle. We lost. So we were shit against Newcastle. The coaching was shit. The intensity was shit. The tactics were shit. And we lost. So we didn't win against Newcastle either. So look, this is the United stand. We've been doing it for a long time. A lot of you have been here for a while. Some of you might be new. We're not here to necessarily agree. We're here to debate and converse and have discussion. Some of you desperately want to give the job to Michael Carrick. That's absolutely fine. I desperately don't. It terrifies the shit out of me that we will do it and be back here in a couple of years and go, we never should have done that. Remember, it took us 2.5 years with Solskjaer to realise it was a mistake. Giving the job to Carrick might not be a mistake next season, might not even be a mistake the year after that, but it might be the year after that. You can waste a long time on a manager. Look, fortunately with Amorim, it was 12 months. With Ten Hag, 2 and a bit years. Ollie, 2 and a bit years. So I'm scared. People keep asking me, I was asked it a lot yesterday, why don't you want Carrick? I said, I like Carrick. He's one of my favourite players. But the ex-player thing doesn't do it for me anymore. It was amazing when we did it with Solskjaer. I was very excited about it. But I feel like we've done this and I don't think it's the right path. It scares me. Doesn't mean it won't be right. Doesn't mean it's not the right decision, but it scares me and I don't think it's best in class. And also, I think I've seen in the last 4 games that there are frailties to the way his coaching staff work. And I think we're naive. And I think we're very dependent on Cunha and Bruno producing moments just like Ollie. I don't see a lot of good football. I see 3 or 4 players that can win you a game of football. And I don't see a lot of tactics. I don't see system. I don't see a vision. I did in the first 2 games against Arsenal and Man City, but I haven't seen it since. And that's what worries me, is that this will run out very, very quickly. And also, this style of football, vibe football, moments football, counter-attacking football, bounce football, light switch football, whatever you want to call it, it won't work when you're playing 2 games a week. It won't work when you start to pick up injuries. It won't work when you're going away to Barcelona and then you've got to play Newcastle on the Sunday. You know, it just won't work. It won't. It'll work in this situation. It worked for Brendan Rodgers at Liverpool with 1 game a week. They nearly won the league. But it won't work when we're playing 2 games a week. It's a massive risk. But I don't blame the fans. I don't blame Carrick and his coaches for wanting it. I don't blame the players for wanting him. I blame the people I always blame. I blame the people that have the power to make the decision who can't think like I've just thought there. I blame Woodward for giving it to Ollie and listening to fans singing songs, of which I was one. And I blame Wilcox and Sir Jim Radcliffe for even considering doing it again, because that's not what best in class is. Dan says, I agree that Carrick isn't good enough. He needs to go away and manage a different club in the Prem. Then if he proves himself, he can come back. Look, there's nothing more I would like than Michael Carrick to take the Man United job and become the next Sir Alex Ferguson or Pep Guardiola and make Man United great again. But the chances of that happening have to be below 10%. I wouldn't take that risk. Hope all is well, Mark, and United stand. Hope everything went well, says Daniel. But I am encouraged by Bruno. I think the key to our summer is Bruno basically saying, I'm only staying if you give me an interesting and ambitious project. And when they say what's interesting and ambitious, he says best-in-class manager and 4 or 5 top-class signings. Then I'll sign. Because United have to deliver that because they need to keep Bruno. And if they don't deliver that, that'll be a double negative because we won't get what we need and Bruno will leave. And I think Bruno's the key. I hope Bruno doesn't just say, I'll stay for another Oli project, because then it will be a waste of his time. Okay, look, thanks everybody for tuning in. Lovely show this morning. I'm trying to think what we've got. Oh, next 2 days are a little bit weird. So I'm with you. I'm with you on the morning shows at 10 o'clock. Obviously, we've got a 2 o'clock show today. We've got Ben Jacobs tomorrow at 2 o'clock. So it's Wednesday with Ben Jacobs, which is actually quite good because I want to ask him a couple of things about the manager situation. I need to write these down. BJ, if the wife sees that, she'll hit me. Manager talk and a few things there as well. Okay, we'll get those questions in. Tonight on That's Football... Don't get sad. Champions League watch-alongs. So there is Liverpool Galatasaray at 5:45, and then there's the 8 o'clock game. So I'm on That's Football for 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock, all the Champions League games. We have got a video with me going up tonight as well on United Stand. So we have got something for you, but it won't probably, but it might be live. I might be able to do it in between. I'm trying to think. Anyway, I've got some content. Don't worry. Make sure you smash a like and subscribe, and I will speak to you all later. Take care. Have a great day.
What's up, Fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.